It's our weekly catch-up with the National Party's Denise Lee.
And of course, it's not Denise, but hi, Chris.
Hello. Thanks for having me in place of Denise.
Oh, well, it's lovely to chat with you.
Thank you. I'll do my best to fill in for her. She's much better informed and witty than me. Better looking too, but I'm ready to find out, so we'll move on from that. But good to have the chance to have a chat with you.
Yeah, well, I have faith in you. I have faith that you can fill these very big shoes.
All right, we'll see how we get on.
Yeah. So first up, we're going to be talking about the alcohol and drug therapeutic courts. So for those who don't know about these, could you explain a bit about them?
Yeah, sure. So these are courts that have been around for a few years now. So 2012, a pilot was started under the last government, and I'm pleased to say that was something that we got on board with discussions with people who know a bit about the stuff. So the chief the judge at Waitakere had looked at overseas experience whereby they have these specialist courts, and what they do is they say, well, if you've done something that, you know, basically against the law in a sort of a criminal realm, but where there's an underlying alcohol or other drug dependency kind of reason for that, then what they actually do is they put you through this special court if you're willing and able to do that, and what that means, you get treatment for your addiction, so they sort that out, and that actually helps you sort of, deal with the circumstances of your offending, but also some of the underlying stuff that's going on in your life. So it tends to improve the outcomes for those who are going through the system. They reoffend less as a result, and of course that's better for their victims and other people who would be victims, not to mention their family and whānau and friends and loved ones and the other ones who are sort of affected by them most immediately. So it's been a really good program, and it's a pilot that goes through, funded through till 2020, next year obviously. So that's sort of the context. So that's what's going on at the moment. And I'll just add in there as well, I've been and visited these places. I went to Waitakere out in West Auckland, which is it's near where I live, but also near where I represent, and just seeing in action, you actually feel quite emotional watching the lives turned around by the ability of people to sort of have some care and treatment to sort themselves out, and it's been a really positive thing that I'm pleased to say we put in place.
Mm. With this recent 2019 budget, we've seen $0.7 million allocated. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, well, what's been allocated is an ongoing funding of the pilot that was put in place and is due to end in June of next year. Mm-hmm. So what we've just seen is they're keeping the lights on for 12 months more, as expected, but sadly, actually, there isn't anything in the budget to continue the pilot, either on its current terms, which is a couple of these courts, let alone to extend it further, elsewhere in the country, which is something that we're keen to do. So, a bit disappointing that under the budget it'll all sort of come to a screaming halt. It might well be that the government sometime in the next 12 months, between now and the next budget, does come up with some sort of assurance about it continuing and better still, maybe being extended, but that's not something we've got at the moment. So we really feel like it's a missed opportunity at this stage.
Yeah, because prior to the 2017 election, I believe it was National talking about having a $10 million package, not just for the therapeutic courts, but for things overall. And I believe it was $1.77 million that was going to be allocated for the therapeutic courts. So is this just a differentiation in priorities between coalition government and National?
Well, I guess it might be. In the context of a well-being budget, as they like to call it, it does seem a bit of a shame because the obvious well-being improvements that can and have been made already and demonstrated in this situation, it's pretty hard to ignore the evidence whereby, we've got less offending by people who've been through this as compared with other prisoners, let alone if you think about the fact that you would expect them to have a higher reoffending rate being, dependent on basically illicit substances in a way that would actually continue to have them, as those drivers of crime. So, yeah, look, I can't understand it, and I don't know if it's ideological or if it's that they haven't sort of found the money because they've spent it elsewhere. It goes without saying, any government finds it a struggle to spend all the money that's wanted by all the sectors, and you have to make some choices along the way, but We just think it's a bad choice to have missed this particular boat, as they seem to have at this time.
Because this wellbeing budget, it's all about the health-based and prevention methods, it seems. And maybe that's potentially missing out on some people who have already going through that court system.
Yeah, that's right. And to give credit where it's due, you know, there's some money being spent on mental health that we think is a good idea. Mm-hmm. And you know, we're not going to be... we're not going to play politics with the fact that actually they're doing something positive in that space. And, you know, we will say, of course, that we would have as well. But, you know, credit where it's due. They've done that in some other areas. But this is a little bit of a miss as far as I'm concerned. And I speak sort of as a former lawyer, but also as the National Party Courts spokesperson. So it's something I've taken a bit of interest in looking at. And, you know, I'll just sort of obviously want to work alongside anyone who's been associated with those courts to help make the case to the government that they should actually, you know, see the value in it. And even though the pilot hasn't finished and the final results therefore haven't come out, you know, what we don't want to do is have it come to an end in the meantime and then sort of stand around discussing the situation and then eventually get it back up and running, because that's an opportunity lost. Because, you know, you lose the expertise. A lot of it's actually about the expertise of the judges and the specialist staff. You know, so it's not just about a physical courtroom or even the fact that you've got you know, these rehabilitation centres out in the community where these people get sent to. It's actually about sort of having the structures in place and the knowledge, you know, the wisdom to deal with these pretty tricky situations in a sensitive and appropriate way.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to shift on to the subject of KiwiRail. Government's indicated increased funding will be going to KiwiRail for future budgets. And Grant Robertson has pointed to a consistent lack of underfunding for KiwiRail being the reason for this. Has National seemingly not prioritized KiwiRail in the past?
Well, we put a certain amount of money into it, and obviously they would say that you need more. So effectively, that's the argument that they're making, and so they are putting more into it. And to the extent that rail can be helpful, you know, that's fine as far as it goes. But what we just sort of are missing at the moment is any sort of strategic view or plan whereby it actually sort of all fits together. So, for example, you've got noises being made by New Zealand First, who seem to be driving it. About the fact that, you know, that you could relocate the port that's currently at Auckland up to Whangarei, and that would sort of improve the business case, I guess, for having rail between those and getting some trucks off the road. So, you know, that sort of makes sense as far as it goes, but that decision hasn't been made yet. You know, they're still working through the business case, so it's sort of it's a little bit cut for the horse to be, you know, making an investment that only makes sense if another decision goes a particular way. So there's that, and there's the fact that actually a lot of the money that's being tipped in is actually just to effectively to keep, you know, to keep going with existing projects. So the City Rail Link, CRL, is that's needed an extra $500 million to be tipped into for slightly longer platforms and basically cost blowouts, because it seems that between council and the government over the last 18 months they haven't been looking particularly closely at what's been going on, and suddenly we've got a whole heap of extra costs. So, you know, we can talk about extra money going into the budget, and of course the glossy brochures and the PRs put out by the government talk about investment. But, you know, I think you or I would regard investment as something that you put some money into and you get something extra out of, rather than just sort of keeping on the same track, if it's excuse the railway pun.
From what I've heard, this investment in KiwiRail is specifically designed to target carbon emissions by taking trucks off the road. Do you disagree that this will accomplish this?
Well, I don't. I haven't crunched those numbers myself, so I'm not in a position to you know hold a number of emissions in one hand and the other and say which is greater or lesser. But you know, it's still the same amount of energy required to move the same amount of goods, more or less the same distance. I think you can make a better argument in terms of rail for keeping trucks off, you know, minimising truck traffic, if you want to talk about, you know, other, you know, the fact that roads require some maintenance with that. But at the same time, the basic reality is that if you're shifting freight around the country, then, you know, by the time you've loaded it onto, load it from the port to the onto the rail, you've still got to load it then onto trucks, because not everyone lives at a railway station where they get their goods, and certainly the shops aren't there and so on. So it's actually a more complicated picture, I think, than maybe that the current government sort of realises. And, if the emissions are part of the picture, that's fine, that's good. But it's not the whole picture, and I'll be surprised if you get a lot of extra benefit in terms of rail versus trucks.
I think
the bigger ones in transport in terms of emissions would actually be in the public transport space. And I think with the rail stuff, it's probably more in the realm of freight rather than increasing passenger services. So, again, maybe a bit of a missed opportunity there.
But I think in terms of this, it's not about taking trucks out of the equation entirely. I think that's unrealistic. But it is about reducing that amount of time that trucks need to be on the road and having those carbon emissions put out.
Well, maybe so. But, trains don't not have carbon emissions as well. They're not running on the breath of a unicorn. That there's real sort of carbon emissions associated with them as well. They're pretty heavy beasts, and they absorb a lot of fuel and put a certain amount in the atmosphere as well. So until such time as we find some other way of powering our trains, or our trucks for that matter, then, we're going to be putting emissions from one column into another, more or less. So, it sort of seems a bit slightly an exercise in creative accounting, I think, if they're going to claim a big win there.
I guess I am curious, because this seems to be a step to move towards more environmentally friendly practices, or at least making the infrastructure so we can shift towards those things.
Right.
Is that something that National is prioritizing at the minute?
Yeah, very much so, yeah. And in fact, I'd just take a step back, if I may, to answer your question by saying, in government, our record is actually pretty good. We increased the amount of renewable, or the proportion of renewable energy is in terms of what we're doing. But, our philosophy is always what actually gets results, and not just a matter of, for example, standing on the world stage and saying, we've done this and that. We actually have to say, has it been effective in terms of reducing emissions and pollution and so forth? So a classic case is, recently the government announced that it would ban oil and gas exploration. And you might say, well, that's pretty positive in terms of the environment. But that's without actually looking at the reality and the cold, hard facts, which are that, if we're still using the same amount of energy as Kiwis, then if we have less of it produced onshore, or by New Zealand essentially, then we're going to be exporting it from overseas, and that'll be a higher proportion of coal and probably less refined at that. So, number one, yes, to answer your question, National does take the stuff very seriously. But number two, we actually think that part of that is having a look at results and getting away from those unintended consequences where we take an action which sort of might look good on the surface, whether or not the current government has sort of done the thinking about, what that might actually lead to in real-world terms.
I guess I might just get your opinion on something I'm doing today, which is I'm conducting a piece on a recent report that says if we don't make some very serious changes to our civilizations and societies as the way they work, we are looking at a potential extinction by 2050. Just with that environmental perspective in mind, what do you think about that?
I've got to be a bit careful. Number one, I'm not a scientist. Number two, mm-hmm. I'm not our spokesperson. But I'm inclined to make a wager with you whether we're all going to be extinct in 2050. But, of course, the problem with that kind of wager is that, we won't be around. if you win and we're not around, then you won't be able to collect your bet. So let's just say that in 30 years, I doubt that the whole human population is going to be extinct. But look, I think the bigger point is that actually it's really important that we do take care of our environment. Yeah. And, we can argue about the date by which things will get irretrievably worse, but the reality is we've got to be sensitive to this place we live in, partly because that's the right thing to do morally. It's the right thing to do legally now in terms of our obligations that we've signed up to, under international law. And it's the right thing in terms of thinking about, well, for example, we need to live in a place that, A, we can enjoy, and B, can continue to be productive for us. So I think the old sort of economy versus environment debate is something we've all moved on past. You know, we need to find ways of continuing to keep everyone happy and healthy and productive, but in a way that doesn't trash the only planet we've got. So that's sort of the where we're at, you know, just, you know, basically being very moderate and balanced in terms of all the considerations.
I'm just going to shift on to my last question of the day. I don't know if you've been warned, but I usually like to end off on a personal question.
Okay. Good one. I hadn't, but that's fine.
Sorry about that. But I like, this is something I specifically like to ask Kiwi blokes. So what is
well, now
your...
I'm nervous.
Don't be nervous. I'm generally nice with these questions. The question is, what is your favorite flower?
Oh, my favorite flower. Oh, I'd have to say the sunflower.
Oh.
Yeah, well, you know, it's a bit sort of, it's a bit corny, but, you know, they're so bright and sunny, for want of a better phrase. But also, I don't know if you grew up with a book called the something about the giant sunflower, and it was, I don't know, I'm not going to recount it all to you. I'll lose your entire audience if I do that for you, and you won't thank me for that. But anyway, you know, there's a sunflower, and it's all a bit sad, and then it gets fixed up. And I think, you know, without the risk of, not assuming a spoiler alert, you know, the sun comes out and it rains, and then it's all good. So here we go, a little bit of an emotional
roller coaster there.
I've got more than you bargained for. You probably just thought it just sort of stammered out the name of the flower, but here we go. Sunflower.
Well, the thing is, if I asked my producer Ben here, who's with me, what his favorite flower was, he would not give me an answer.
And he's had a minute to think about it while I've been blathering on about sunflowers. So here we go.
I'll have to check in with him in a bit.
All right, you do that.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you have a nice one, Chris.
Thanks
lovely talking
much.
With you.
Yeah, you too. Lovely to chat to you.
Have a good one.
The National Party's Denise Lee on 95 BFM.